C2A. Number 6B.
Despised? Well, Saul doesn't despise. Saul always blesses. Saul always gives all the balm of Saul. But devised and rejected of men, instead of rejecting sin, they reject the truth. You see the counterfeit of Saul, despised and rejected of men. Jesus was returning blessings for cursing. And you see the tone of Saul. Saul is always that which blesses for cursing, which does not accept a counterfeit, but always affirms really the identity, the truth of things. So he was returning blessing for cursing. He taught mortals the very opposite of themselves, even the nature of God. The nature of God is spirit. Always when we have to do with nature, the true nature, that spirit, because spirit is the true substance, the true nature of God. So you have here that sense that first of all the Pharisees would reject the counterfeit of Saul, the true nature of man's spirit, but that Jesus did the very opposite, that instead of rejecting people, he was blessing them, Saul, and showing them the true nature of God, spirit. That was his teaching. And so when error felt the power of truth, here you get the Christ idea at work, the scourge and the cross awaited the great teacher. Yet he swerved not. See, now we get to the piece of it. He swerved not. Do you know what that means? That's Saul, huh? That's certainty of soul, the balance of soul that has not the coming and the going, appearing and disappearing, that it's that swerving not, that steadiness, that firmness of soul that is depicted here. He swerves not. You just can see him constantly staying with his true sense of things, well knowing that to obey the divine order, again comes, what is the divine order? We have seen the divine order is to turn away from matter and to turn towards spirit, into the line of spirit, that we are then unfolding in the order of spirit. So that knowing that to obey the divine order and trust God, to trust God, to have that firmness, which we will see then afterwards in the main tone of soul, saves what? Saves retracing and traversing anew. Can you see? That's the counterfeit of soul. Soul is steady, constant, swerves not. The counterfeit of it is that we are constantly falling back and then have to retrace as our way and to traverse anew. We always go two steps forward and one step backward. That's the counterfeit of soul. Whereas soul is steady, constant, firm, and just sticks to the divine order. And so it says, from retracing and traversing anew the path from sin to holiness. Can we put that into a subject to see what is spirit as soul? Spirit says, spirit is the true nature of God. The true nature of God has ordered. It's the divine order. We can unfold in a divine order of spirit if we know really that God as the one and the only. Thou shalt have only one God, and not gods many. So if we know that order of spirit, then at the point of soul it says, don't always fall back to the old thing. so that you don't have always to retrace your steps and constantly to travel anew from sin to holiness. If you stick, if you have that quality of sticking and persevering in your order of spirit, then you don't have to retrace your steps constantly. What is usually the case that we have a sense that in our life we certainly go two steps forward and then one step backward again, and then we say, well, I have to pull up my socks again and go forward again. And so we go forward again, getting a bit sluggish in our intention, and fall back again. So we have to retrace the steps again. Can you see? It is showing, if we see that there is only one God and not God's many, that there is only one spirit and not many spirits, as we had in Spiritus mind, then we really should see that we go along constantly along that line from sin to holiness, a line in the order of spirit, and not give in constantly, so that we are saved from retracing our steps. Yes? Is that difficult? Not really, huh? On the contrary, if we, now we have read not quite the page, and now after having read a page, the picture is rather clear in our consciousness, that we see suddenly the whole picture of the divine idea that is presented here, which says, well, I introduce to you spirit. If you are one with spirit, then that spirit has a Christ. That spirit comes to us. What does that spirit do to us? That spirit is reflecting all the synonymous terms. So that spirit that comes to us comes as always as that which says, go away from the wrong and turn to the right. Make that line of demarcation that you leave the wrong behind and that you turn towards spirit. How is that being fulfilled? The subtone of mind says, I act as mind, I give you the command, and you begin to be moved by the one mind to make that separation. As a subtone of spirit, it says that spirit comes to us as a spiritual fact, namely, and not as a ritualistic, outward, materialistic thing. And so it is showing that any materialization of the worship of spirit is wrong, that the ritualization of the spirit is wrong, and that doesn't do the trick. What does the trick? And so soul comes in and says, if you stick to that decision of turning away from sin and turning towards holiness, if you are a sticker to that, if you don't give in and therefore reject the suggestion of going backward, then you can actually go away from sin to holiness without having to retrace your steps constantly. It's as easy as that. And finally, naturally, when one knows the tonality of the synonyms, it is so much easier. And if one knows the tonality of atonement and Eucharist and their synonymous term, you just think about the terrific sense that you say, well, if I'm one with spirit in consciousness, then that spirit is one with me. I have atoned. And so everything within me turns towards spirit. And it is empowered by mind, and it is enacted by the spiritual worship, point of spirit, and as soul, I have the strength, the unwavering strength, to actually go along that order. And you make it simpler and simpler, until finally you just entertain, well, our unity with spirit is actually operating within me as mind, as power of mind, as spiritual qualities and not materialistic qualities, as soul, as a strictness and toughness and firmness and the constant sense of soul. And you have the same subject as here in the text. We go to principle, which is a short section, but we see at once that another point enters in, namely that material belief, which is a counterfeit of spirit, is slow to acknowledge what the spiritual facts actually imply. I think in that term, imply means really principle, namely what really the spiritual fact, what principle implies, what spiritual interprets, what are the implications of God as principle, or God here as soul, God here as spirit, as a principle of the nature of God, which implies all the ideas of principle. So the truth, she says, is the center. The moment you have the center, your thought turns right to principle, because principle is always the center of its circumference. Principle is always standing in the midst. The synonymous term principle is standing in the midst of the seventh synonymous term. It's also, to say, the backbone of being. And so the truth is the center of all religion. And because it's the center of all religion, it implies all the spiritual facts, so it commands sure entrance into the realm of love. So having the center, we have the realm. Having touched the center, then it implies that you also have the circumference, because there is no principle without its implications, without its explanation and interpretation of itself through its own whole realm. And so we get a terrific sense here that if I touch really the core of spirit, then I touch the center of spirit, and touching the center of spirit, then that gives me entrance into the whole realm of spirit, which is principle. So I begin to see that if I go through spirit as mind, the spirit as soul, I touch the principle of spirit. Then I touch the center of all religion. And this gives us all the implication that we can draw from spirit. We go to life. Here at once, you begin to feel the tone of life. Perhaps the last tone of principle may not be always so clear as it could be. I must say that is the only tone in the whole chapter of a dominant Eucharist that gave me at first a bit difficulty, until I saw what she meant by the center, and that the center implies really the whole realm. Then you got the sense of principle, because principle is always the center of a whole circumference, and that tone here. But when we come to the tone of life, and then of truth, and then of love, it is again crystal clear, the symbolism. On line 27 starts life, St. Paul wrote, "Let us lay aside every weight." Can you see, the moment you read that, you at once feel the tone of life, because life says, lay down the burden of life, lay down the mortal sense of life, lay down that sense that you have to live life, lay down that sense, because God is life and God lives you, and that God living you is not a burden. So let aside every weight, so that we have not the burden of mortal life, and the sin which does so easily beset us, you see, which again is burden us. We really feel that we have a whole burden on our shoulder. And let us run with patience the race that is before us. Now, how can we run quicker, either with a burden or without a burden? Well, if the burden is too big, we cannot run anymore. If the burden of life is too big, we can hardly move anymore. We can hardly advance anymore. So if we really want to run the race that is set before us, can you see the race that is set before us? That's the way of life. And that way of life I can only traverse and can only follow if I'm not burdened. If the weight is too big, I stand still. I can hardly move anymore. And so we have to see that we don't burden ourselves. And actually we burden ourselves very much if we think that everything depends on our mortality, on our mortal ego, on our personal ego, that we have to do it, that everything depends on the fact, will I do it? If we lay aside that burden through the Christ is no burden, because if we are one with life, capitalized life, with God, life, then life lives us, and there is no more a burden. Then we are lived by life. And then we really can run, really, the race that is beset before us. You feel the exaltation of the fifth day of creation being exemplified here too, that we rise above the earth. The earth is heavy. And exalt ourselves into the firmament of heaven. That's light, that's no more heavy. So it's a inner attitude that we have to culture, that we see that life is not a burden, that we have not constantly to run against opposition and to knock our head against something that seems to hinder us, but that we open up the way, we open up really what the Bible always would have said, what especially the prophets would always have said, that God made a highway out of the situation and that you can go along a highway. Well, that's not going through a wilderness, that is not going against an enemy, it's an easy run. And so life becomes an easy run if we separate. If we separate spirit. What is a separation? To lay down the burden of life and to separate us from it and turn towards the one life that is living us. She says further at line 30, that is, let us put aside material self and sense. Can you see now the tone of spirit? Let us put aside, separate yourself, that's life, from what? From the false sense of life, namely from that weight that does so easily beset us, and therefore seek, when you turn away from material sight, and seek the very opposite, the divine principle and signs of all healing. So, you see, just here in this sentence, you say, well, she uses principle, but we are in the tone of spirit as life. Well, that doesn't matter. See, that what matters is really the tonality of it. The tonality is typical spirit, which says, turn away from and turn towards. Now, that is spirit. Now you can ask, well, turn away from what and to what? Every duality. So you can say, turn away from mortal mind and turn to and seek the divine mind. Turn away from matter and seek spirit. Turn away from sense and seek soul. Turn away from belief and seek principle. Turn away from death and mortality and seek life. Turn away from error and seek truth. Turn away from hate and jealousy and frustration and seek the holiness of love. See, so the example that Mrs. Eddy takes, here, as I said, it, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and don't matter. The subject matters, namely, turn away from and turn towards. That's the subject. And without really using the term spirit, it's all about the subject of spirit. Yeah? Yeah? Does that become clear? You see, it is naturally, it is naturally natural for the human mind. We all went to school, we all learned to read. And we read terms, and the terms mattered. And slowly we begin to see that this was false reading, that not the terms matter, but that the subject matters. The terms are only symbols for the subject. So we have to read the subject, because God is a subject, God is not terms. So we have to read the language of spirit, and the language of spirit does not need terms. It only needs symbolization through terms. So we must culture ourselves in reading in subjects and not in terms. And that's the point where the textbook opens. I think we have been able to see that last year with prayer, that if we think about prayer in subjects and not in printed terms, then suddenly that whole chapter on prayer gathered quite a different and higher meaning, didn't it? It certainly did. Or you wouldn't be here to listen to the second chapter. We would have said, that's humbug, I'm not going along with it. But you began to touch and see suddenly that the whole chapter became clear. Now, this is true with every chapter that follows, and what we begin to see is that every chapter takes another standpoint within the matrix, within the 4x4, and presents that subject, therefore, from another standpoint. Here, from the standpoint of the Word coming to us as the Christ, and having the impact on us and on the human to free ourselves from the material sense of things and acquaint ourselves with the spiritual sense of things. We go further to truth. We are still in the subject of spirit. That spirit is the only, that spirit wants to make a line of demarcation. What is that line of demarcation when seen from the point of view of truth? So she says, well, if truth is overcoming error in your daily walk and conversation. You see, she doesn't say, if you overcome error in your daily walk and conversation. She doesn't say, if you overcome. She says, if truth overcomes it. That's a difference. Wouldn't you say that that's a difference? If she would have said, if you overcome, then that would be old time metaphysics. The 19th century metaphysics, it's would be the metaphysics of positive thinking. But here we have to do with a Christ science, where the Christ must do the thing. Where Christ is the power in the messianic work. Never forget that this is one of our key notes that we found in this second chapter, that the Christ is the power in the messianic work, that if God doesn't do the job, it cannot be done. If God can't do it, we can't do it. So we better see that God does it and acquaint ourselves and unite ourselves with God in such a way that God can shine through us. So if truth is overcoming error in your daily walk and conversation, you can finally say, I have fought a good fight. Can you say now, suddenly it says, I have fought a good fight, because I had let truth operate in me. Not I did fight, I let truth fight for me. And this is a very big difference, so that we cannot say, well, we put our hands into our lap. Is that a saying you have, to put your hands into your lap? saying you don't do anything. Huh? So it doesn't say that and say you don't have to do anything, the Christ will do everything. It says, yes, the Christ is the power that does it, but you have to let it happen. You don't have to put up resistance against it, or you go through hell and high water. So if we let truth, really what you said, overcome error in our daily life, then we can say, I have fought a good fight, just as Paul has said. I have kept faith. You see, I did stick to that one spirit. Because you are now a better man. Can you see now, suddenly, always when we come to the tone or subtone of truth or to the main tone of truth, man enters in, the form of man enters in. We didn't have man entering in the tone of spirit until in the subtone of truth, because if we go through the subtone of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, that constitutes man. The first five then taken together constitute what we are. Because why is that so? Because we have gone through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life in consciousness. We have clarified and purified our consciousness and have therefore corrected our consciousness through mind and through spirit and soul and principle, life. And as we have corrected consciousness, we have a pure consciousness. A consciousness that is purified by the counterfeits of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. And therefore have a pure consciousness, a better man. And so constantly comes in at the point of truth, as in the sixth day of creation, what constitutes man here, a better is good spirit man. This is having our part in the at-one-ment with truth and love. We are now one with truth and love. So Christians do not continue to labor and pray, expecting, because of another's goodness, suffering, and triumph, that they shall reach his harmony and reward, giving a sense that we are men not through a vicarious work. We are not a better man because somebody else in our place is working out the harmony. At the beginning of this sentence, that Christians do not continue to labor. Now, if you put that into the positive, which we are always allowed to do, we say, well, Christians, by continuing to labor and pray, are actually reaching their harmony and reward. And you get that sense of labor, that tone of truth. If we know the sixth statement in the commandment, we know 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Always when we come to the tone of truth, it is that laboring, that working, that shows we acknowledge and affirm in consciousness what is true. So you get the terrific sense here also of spirit as that which is good, which we attain through that constant laboring. But that labor is not a burdensome labor, naturally. It's that labor, 6 days shalt thou labor. What does 6 day mean? It means that if I entertain in consciousness a tone of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, that then I labor in the truth. That's our labor. It's not the heaviness of labor. Yes, I have to stop here.